Second sack today by the Jacksonville defense, and now it's third and 27. Second three and out today by the Titans offense.
I've seen some bad football in my life in the Tennessee Titans. I'm not sure I've ever heard it louder than that.
It was pretty bad.
I mean, and I was at the game when they called that, and I heard the booing, but it was another thing when I was rewatching the game last night, taking notes, and I just hear Andrew Catalan go, and the Tannehill screen pass, and the fans are going to hate that one.
And third and 27.
Sudden, you just hear them booing. And it's like, I mean, it was so loud. And let me say this. This is, I think, the thing that Amy Adams Strunk is most going to regret about her decision to fire John Robinson when she did it. So, again, I don't think Amy Adams Strunk is going to regret the decision to fire John Robinson anytime soon. You know, that'll be 3-4 years down the road if the team, you know, if the team's back to the Mike Munchak era where I feel like we're headed. If they end up back in the Munchak era or the Wisenhunt era, then she will regret firing John Robinson. But that will be a couple years from now. That won't be right now. But where she will regret it is you heard those boos right there. Like I said, I have never heard it that loud. And I have seen some horrendous Titan football teams. In fact, most of the time, the fans don't even go when they're so mad at a terrible team that it's all the other team's fans. Now, Jacksonville doesn't have a lot of fans. So it's not like the Dallas Cowboys where they could pack it and, you know, you really start hearing the other team cheer. But, again, I've never heard it that loud. And what Amy Adams Strunk did, she didn't give the fans a license to boo. They have that. That's part of sports. But what she did was she confirmed the belief of doubt that a lot of people had about the team. So a lot of people looked at the Titans. We used to talk about this. I mean, I feel like it wasn't 6 weeks ago, it was 10 years ago when I was like, we used to talk about after the overtime game against the Chiefs about, and it was literally less than a month and a half ago. But we would talk about, like, could this team go to the Super Bowl? Like, we talked about this. They went toe-to-toe with Cincinnati, the defending AFC champions, with a legit elite quarterback, and they hit the snapper in the neck. Again, that's not John Robinson's fault. Just like it's not Floyd Reese's fault that Kevin Dyson got stopped at the 1 yard line by Mike Jones. Like, it's not the GM's fault that he hit the snapper in the head. And so at that point, we were talking about, could the Titans go to the Super Bowl? And all of a sudden, they have a couple bad weeks. And then, but when you fire the general manager, the message is obvious. It's that the team's not any good and that you don't believe it. Just the same arguments, the calls that we've taken about, I don't think they can go far with Dennis Daly at left tackle. Well, the team is like, hey, we believe in Dennis Daly. Dennis, we believe in you. And the owner's like, I don't. Count me out on Dennis Daly. And so all the frustrations that the fans have, they become amplified because the fans feel like the ones that are angry about it feel like they've been victimized with a bad team in front of them, when in reality, this team should be going to the playoffs. Like, this team is not a horrible team. They weren't a horrible team a month ago.
And also, all
let
of
me finish this, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is going to trickle all the way down. This is where she's going to regret it. One, the team could absolutely collapse. Like, Vince Young, Pat in the stands, level collapse. That was a 5-2 Titans team, and the team won one game the rest of the season against the Texans after Vince Young threw his pads in the stands, and they finished 6-10. And everybody got fired. And if this team collapses down the stretch, I mean, that's going to be blood on her hands. And that's going to cost her a lot of money. Because if you're not hosting a playoff game this year, if you don't make it, that is a lot of money that you didn't make. And I think ticket sales, too. Now, I know they play the Cowboys, so that game's probably already sold out and been sold out for eons. But you want people to still be energized by your team. I mean, I'll be stunned when the TV ratings come out. It would not surprise me if the Titans' TV ratings for this week weren't very high. And if the TV ratings for next week aren't very high. because you've given the fans the license to give up because we know that you don't believe. And I think this is going to be a really tough lesson for her to learn, which is, hey, man, your opinion of the team means more than literally everybody else's. Your public opinion. Your private opinion can be whatever you want it to be. I mean, nobody knows what that is. But your public opinion of the team matters more than literally anybody else. And I think she's going to regret that. I think she's going to regret that for the rest of the season when she goes to games like yesterday. Caroline, I drove right into the stadium yesterday. That's we do the sad. Pregame show until 11:30.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, at 11:30 we leave. And I've said this many times during the pregame show, that when we do the home game pregame show from Sonny's Patio Pub out there in Germantown,
yeah,
it's my favorite spot to do it because it's real easy to get in and out of and park in, but also it's real easy to get right on the interstate, to get right to the stadium, and I can usually get in there. We leave, you know, 30 minutes before the game starts, and I usually get in there like during the national anthem, maybe a little bit after that. Yesterday, I drove right in like it was a Vandy football game that was being played there. Like a TSU game that was being played there. I just drove right in. And not to knock TSU or Vandy, but that's college football, and it's not Tennessee or Georgia. You know, so I just drove right in. Just right into the stadium. Just like I used to during the Mike Munchak era. And I am scared to death that's what it's going back to, and I think the fans feel like it's going back to that too. It's not – somebody tweeted me and said, you know, imagine the idea like the fans are going to decide – to go to a game because of who the general manager is. It's not about that.
No.
If Amy Adams Strunk had waited until the end of the year and fired John Robinson and then hired Johnny Joseph, you know, the next general manager, this is Johnny Joe, our new general manager, Johnny Joe would have had an entire offseason to cultivate a relationship with the fans, to cultivate a relationship with Vrabel, to cultivate a relationship with the players, to get the players to believe in him, all of those things. But when you do what you do when you did it, that's fine if you're already 3-13 and you're going nowhere, because then it's like, who cares? But when you do it when there's still a lot on the line in the season, the fans that didn't believe in this team, and there were a lot of fans that didn't believe in this team, their voices become louder. They feel more justified in not believing in the team. And the fans that did believe in the team, I mean, I believed in this team. I told you all after the Kansas City game, I thought this team was right there. I think the season's over. So I'm not going to get on the bandwagon for the idea that this team could make a run in the playoffs. Or, I mean, I still think they'll win the division, but I think they'll get smoked by Miami or Baltimore or whomever it is in the first round. And on you go. I mean, I think it's over.
Did you think any differently 3 weeks ago?
Yes.
Because, I mean, I I'm with you that we had the conversations about the Titans potentially making a run for the Super Bowl, which still felt far-fetched at the time, but I understood the path, and I saw the path, that if the Titans just get the right seeding in the playoffs and things just shake their way for a couple of games, they could get there. But really, kind of deep down, I felt like it was probably going to be a first-round exit anyway.
Titans were 9-7 3 years ago. Lost to the Texans at home, who ended up winning the division, and this is in the month of December. Lost to the Texans at home, lost to the Saints at home.
Mm-hmm.
Beat the Texans the last game of the year because the Texans had pulled all of their players because they had already won the division and their seed was set. And so the Titans had to win and get in, and the Titans ended up beating the Texans junior varsity team. Made it to the playoffs. Not sure a lot of people thought they were going on the road to beat Tom Brady and the Patriots the next week.
No, weird things happen.
And they did. Nobody thought they were going to go beat Lamar Jackson, the league MVP, and the 14-2 Ravens. And they did. They were up 17-7 in the second quarter against the Kansas City Chiefs. Nobody thought that that was going to happen, but it did. That's football. That's why I talked about this last week when Mike Vrabel brought up that our season's at a crossroads. And I'm like, that's not football person talk. Football person talk is get in the dance and go from there. That's how football people talk. It is survive in advance. And clearly, Amy Adams Strunk has no interest in surviving and advancing.
They're going to get in the dance.
Maybe. I mean, I still think Jacksonville and Indy aren't going to win enough, but it's different. It's different when it's all of us banding together to believe in each other, And even our owner thinks we stink. Those are two different things. 615-737-1025 to your phones. We will go. 615-737-1025. And again, I think she's going to regret punting on the season when she did. And I would love to know who all was in the discussion with her, because I can see as somebody running a business saying, hey, once I decide, I decide, and now I'm done deciding. But there's got to be somebody there that's like, dude, you are literally going to kill the grass of this season. And there is no way to put fertilizer back in there. Like, it's over. And that's how I feel about this year. 615-737-1025. FanDuel Sportsbook, my official sportsbook app. You can bet the NFL with finding new player and game props that you like, which is perfect for tonight's Monday Night Football game. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout, which, again, is perfect for Monday Night Football, the Patriots, and the Cardinals. Let me say this. If I owned either team and my team lost, I'd fire somebody. Like, if I was Robert Kraft, I own the Patriots, and we lost to that terrible Arizona Cardinal team. I tell Bill Belichick, the Joe Judge, Matt Patricia thing, that's not going to happen next year. And if I was Arizona and we lost this game, and we were 4-9 and had no shot at the playoffs like they don't, I'm firing Cliff Kingsbury. Not probably fire Cliff Kingsbury anyways, but I digress. Great, great prop bets, though, to make. FanDuel's easy to use. They've got live betting, and they've got fast withdrawals. So when you win, FanDuel pays you your winnings quickly. There is no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay, so lock in your bet today on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. If you're new to FanDuel, sign up with the promo code JGM for your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's promo code JGM, and make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the National Football League. 21 and older and present Tennessee. First online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Is there a challenge now to keep the positivity you're talking about and the confidence level high when essentially the message here last week from ownership was that the roster isn't good enough to keep doing that?
I don't think we have any other choice. It's what we have to do is figure out who we have and get them ready to go play a game, take care of the football, try to have some ball production on defense. You know, it's been a long time since we've, you know, created a turnover. Or hit anybody hard enough to knock the ball loose or intercept it or tip it up in the air and catch it.
Boy, I'll tell you, that sounds like a coach who's really excited to get ready this week for the Chargers.
Yeah, he sounds super energized and ready to go and not sick of these questions.
What's the challenge for keeping the belief when your owner tells you you stink?
Honestly?
Well, we don't have any other choice.
I mean,
we don't have any other choice.
He's not wrong, though.
Yeah, but that's not. If Vrabel, I mean, the fact that Vrabel's that defeated right now.
Can you blame him?
Yes. He's the head coach.
I know.
This is a team that 2 weeks ago lost by 4 points to the Cincinnati Bengals.
And at some point, you have to just move forward.
Right.
And at least put a face on. I know.
And so, do I expect better out of Vrabel in that situation? I do. But it leads me to ask this question. You think Vrabel believes in this team?
Doesn't sound like it.
Doesn't sound like it. The best coach in the NFL is so overwhelmed with the situation he's in. They're in first place. They've always been in first place.
But do you think he believed in this team 3 weeks ago?
I do. When they beat the Green Bay Packers, then I think that everybody believed in this team. I think when they beat the Packers.
Then did his mind change? Or did...
Well, we didn't get to hear what Vrabel said the Monday after the Packer game because that was all about Todd Downing getting a DUI.
So, but did his mind change or did his belief just dissipate in this team because this team doesn't believe in itself anymore?
I think he knows he can't overcome the owner saying, we suck. I think he knows it. And I think last week he tried. I think last week Vrabel looked at it with the obvious message that was there. That Vrabel decided, you know what, we're going to look past this. We're not going to let this be an issue. We're not going to let this be something that tears us apart. We're going to stick together. We're going to believe in ourselves. We're going to go out there, next man up, everybody do it, good days of practice. Here we go, team on three. And after the ass kicking that he got yesterday, I think he can't even put lipstick on the pig. And I thought the biggest strength of Vrabel is that he takes average and makes it great. As a group, you know, he's like Michelangelo putting the football team together. And even he doesn't feel like he can do anything with this at this point. And it didn't have to be this way. And that's the frustrating part.
And they did it to themselves.
They did it to themselves. It didn't have to be this way. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Just go back to that Packer game. Just that Packer game, everybody was hot for this team. Everybody around the country. And you can't tell me that they weren't hot for themselves in that locker room. Tannehill had his best game in eons in that Packer game on national TV. And now everybody thinks you suck, including your owner. And it doesn't even sound like your head coach can push back on that at all. Rob is up next. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Rob is up next. Thank you for calling. What you got, Robbie?
Hi, yeah. I thought it was really interesting you guys were talking about how Vrabel was in on that meeting with non-football people.
It sounds like Vrabel called the town hall, at least from what I was told, what Caroline said.
Yeah, I mean, well.
That he called the town hall with all the business people in the organization.
That was my understanding.
Yeah, well, that goes into what I was going to say, and it's a little bit of playing devil's advocate, because I think you had said that, you know, he didn't want to be there. I would say he did it on purpose because he's smart and he was making a play to show that he also thinks he can be the GM. I mean, there's nothing more like leadership-esque than calling a meeting or being in charge of a meeting with non-football people and saying, oh, here's how we're going to get through this. We're all in this together. Let's go. And I'll hang up and listen to that.
God, if that's true, that's pathetic. If that's true, that's embarrassing. That Mike Vrabel, the reigning coach of the year, would look at an opportunity on a Tuesday of the Jacksonville Jags week, and instead of saying, hey, let's bunker down and get on this Jags film and get ready for this Jags game and practice tomorrow and what we have to say to the team, that Mike Vrabel would say, call up the sales team, call up the ticket sales group, call up the community relations department, get them all together. All right. Can we get the name tags printed, or do we need to go to Office Depot and get those so that we can, do we need to, you know, get it in color as opposed to black and white ink, you know, get that? Think about that. That's pathetic. If Mike Vrabel was like, oh, here's my opportunity to show that I can be GM. Let's call everybody together.
I'm sure that's the last thing that Mike Vrabel wanted to do.
I mean, it should be the last thing Mike Vrabel wanted to do.
Yeah.
I think the reason Mike Vrabel did it, I'm not going to lie to you. I think the reason Mike Vrabel did it is because every single person who works for the Titans is going to get asked by everybody they know why what happened. And so for
Vrabel, of course, that's what everyone's asking.
And so for Vrabel to get there and say, hey, we're not going to start any rumors. We're going to go from here. We're going to push forward. I think Vrabel was trying to show leadership when his knees have been taken out from underneath him by the owner.
And I think that that was probably a message that leadership looked at and said, hey, you know, who better to deliver that message than Mike Vrabel?
Who better to deliver that message than our head coach?
Yeah.
The answer?
To rally the troop.
The owner. Steve is up next. Thank you for calling. What you got, Steve?
Hey, what's up, guys? Man, great show, man.
Thank you.
Those last two games, like, just stole my soul. But, I mean, the team was going in the wrong direction. And I'm not going to blame Amy. I think John just got held accountable. He wasted too much first
round. How is it John's fault that the team was going in the wrong direction? Were they going in the wrong direction after the Packer game?
Dude, we 7-6. He wasted too much first round draft capital on dudes that were
bums. But was it going in the wrong direction after the Packer game when you were 7-3?
The Packers suck. We should have beat them. But
did you feel that way after the Packer game?
Look, it's just
when
like
you were 7-3,
man.
Steve, when you were 7-3 after the Packer game, did you sit there and say, John Robinson's done a terrible job and he should be fired?
I didn't say he needed to be fired, but he's wasted first-round draft capital, and it shows. That's why he's trying to stay under the cap. That's why he's telling Jeffrey, oh, we ain't going to be able to pay you, just like he did AJ, man. He's out of here.
So I do think that Simmons quote, which I thought, thank you for your
and
question.
Malik Willis, I'm going to leave with Malik Willis. That's another waste. Thank you.
What's wrong with Malik Willis?
Malik sucks.
He's a third-round pick.
I know, but Brock Purdy, man.
Once we start nitpicking third-round picks.
Brock Purdy's out there looking like freaking Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but is Brock Purdy Michael Jordan, or is he just surrounded by a bunch of Michael Jordans?
He is. That team is freaking great.
That team is good.
I feel so good about my San Francisco Super Bowl pick, you know, and then Trey Lance got hurt, and then I was like, oh, no, and now Brock Purdy's the quarterback, and I'm like, oh, yes.
Thank goodness Brock Purdy saved my take.
I will say this on the like, Robinson front, or the, you know, again, if you want to talk about whether or not he's doing a bad job, or did a bad job, I should say, you know, the first round picks and the misses on this and the misses on that, that is a fair discussion to have after the season. If Amy Adams-Strunk had decided that the Caleb Farley miss was too much with the Julio Jones trade and the Isaiah Wilson pick, and that it was going in the wrong direction and that a change needed to be made, then whenever she had that thought, she should have thought, okay, what is my next step? Not, let me get on the horn and fire him today. Because the difference is, again, if you decided that, hey, right after the season's over, we're calling John into the office and we're telling John, like, hey, man, like, too many Caleb Farleys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there would have been about a day and a half of everybody being, and then there would have been like a week and a half of speculation as to who's the next general manager and how much power is Vrabel going to have and all. But those players would be in Turks and Caicos, and half of them wouldn't even be on the team next year. Instead, these guys are trying to win a football game on Sunday.
Yeah.
And you talk about it wasn't going in the wrong direction. They lost to the Bengals by 4. It wasn't like they lost to the Bengals by 24. They lost by 4. That is every game in the NFL where it comes right down to the wire. And just like that Thanksgiving Day game between the Bills and the Lions, where it came right down to the last drive and the Bills hit a 50-yard field goal and the Bills win and the Lions lose. And again, it was very close and the Lions just aren't good at fine. That was with the Bengals, the defending AFC champions, with the next John Elway as their quarterback. And you all are telling me that the general manager should be fired because of that? That's where I get mad. You know, we weren't going in the right direction. You were 7-3, and the general manager didn't make a single decision between 7-3 and 7-5. Didn't make one decision. And there wasn't a single decision that has been made about this year's team that has affected them as much from the general manager position or the administration position of the club. There hasn't been one decision that has affected them as much as last Tuesday's decision affected them yesterday. And to me, it was obvious. There is a reason why the football people say, we want no distractions no matter what. And as soon as they get a distraction, it's, oh, that's not going to affect us. But then why do you always say you don't want distractions? Because they're real. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get right back to your phones. 615-737-1025. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I love my friends at Hiller. Hiller is giving away cash for the holidays, and they are celebrating from now until the end of the year with special deals. Hiller wants to make sure every child experiences the joy of Christmas this year. So they're donating $50 in toys for Toys for Tots for every tankless water heater purchase, and giving away a $250 Visa gift card with each unit. Get a $500 Visa gift card when you buy select new HVAC systems or a $500 Visa gift card with the purchase of any new whole home generator. They have more deals online at happyhiller.com. As always, Happy will be here. The service is free, and these deals are only available until the end of the year. And I don't know if you've checked the calendar, but we are getting very, very close to the end of the year. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face truck today.
You could have very easily after the season said, hey, John Robinson did an amazing job winning seasons. We got to get someone to take us to the next level. And because of some of his picks, because of the A.J. Brown trade, he's not the guy to get us to the next level. So we wish him well. We all know what the message was, though, right? We saw it. The message from the owner was, you guys suck, and it's John Robinson's fault, and this team is going nowhere. So I can go ahead and mess with everything and throw off the equilibrium of the 2022 season because I'm fed up with this guy and I'm fed up with you guys. And they came out there and played like it today.
Withrow with the hot take on the postgame show last night, and I don't disagree with a single word of what he said there.
How can you disagree?
No, I mean, that to me, that was the message.
Message received.
Season's over. Season's over. That's what I believe. Speaking of the postgame show, this Sunday, following the postgame show, following the Titans game, tune into the postgame show. Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow live from the Superbook Lounge and Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway. The postgame show is brought to you by Renter's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford, now with a huge inventory of in-stock vehicles to choose from, and Superbook Sports, voted the number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Superbook Sports. Bill is up next here on Stillman & Company. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Bill.
Big cheesehead here, living in Tennessee since 85. I invited 15 of my family members to go to that Packers game. My 91-year-old mom went. We all had a great time. Packers fans, we all had a great time watching the Titans beat the Packers. We don't care. I mean, we're fans. Come on. Titans fans need to lighten up a little bit, enjoy the ride. You know, the Titans are probably a 70% team, so, you know, they're going to lose 30% of those games. Enjoy the ride. Don't overthink it. Enjoy
the
y'all's
owner,
show.
See, Bill, first of all, I love your attitude, and I thought the Packer fans, when we were in Green Bay, I've said this on the air many times, mm-hmm. I thought the Packer fans were the nicest fans, visiting fans, I've ever been around. But Bill,
it was a ball watching Broadway turn green and gold for all the games that the Packers fans came down here. That was fun.
But let me say this: you say enjoy the ride. The owner said on Tuesday last week, "Ride's up." So why should they enjoy the ride?
If you have to rebuild, you have to rebuild. I mean, at some point, you got to just say to yourself, you know what? We're probably not going to want to go to the Super Bowl. We got to start thinking about next year. And that's why all these players need to be on alert that they're interviewing for their next job on the Packers, on the Titans, on the Cardinals, all these teams that are just mediocre. They're all interviewing for their next job, I would imagine, wouldn't you?
Bill, not a bad call. The biggest difference, though, between that, aren't the Packers 3-9?
I don't know exactly, but they haven't won very many games.
Arizona is 4-8.
Yeah.
Like, the Tennessee Titans are probably going – they still have a 90% chance to win this division. So it would have been 99% if they had won yesterday, but it is only 90%. So all the things that he's saying, that is what you say about a team that sucks.
Yeah.
And this team does not suck, no matter what. And this is football. Like, I think it's hilarious how – and this is what I go back to with what Amy's message was to the fans and the team. And where I think Amy's going to regret it, and where she nuked the season, is that if Amy didn't fire John Robinson, because he's talking about the Titans need to start focusing on building for the future. That's what bad teams think about. That's not what teams that look at themselves as contenders think about. That's not what teams that are even in the mix for the playoffs think about. The Detroit Lions yesterday put it out there via Ian Rappaport on all the pregame shows that they are committed to Jared Goff in the future, that Jared Goff is the future of the LA of the Detroit Lions. Basically, we're not looking for a quarterback this offseason. Jared's our guy. Now, that never came out when they traded for Jared Goff, and they never said that last year when they held the second overall pick in the draft and a later pick in the first round from the Rams. But they now are saying it. Why? Because they want to boost Jared Goff up, and they want Jared Goff to believe I'm the dude, and because they know they're not going to be that Rams pick after they beat the Raiders the other night with Baker Mayfield, that Rams pick is not going to be good enough for them to be able to draft Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. They want the rest of the league to know that, hey, we're going to have the fourth overall pick in this draft, and it is open for business, guys. So call us up. Just if you're thinking you want that player, call. If you're thinking you want Will Levis, call us up, because we're not taking a quarterback because Jared's our guy. Well, the Detroit Lions aren't even in the playoffs right now. They're not going to pass Minnesota in order to win that division. They're going to have to get in as the last wild card in the NFC. It's them, Seattle, the Giants. You know, they're all kind of mixed in there one way or another. Does anybody think the Detroit Lions are going to go to the Super Bowl this year?
No.
Do you think the Lions are telling their team, guys, we're not going to the Super Bowl this year?
No.
That's football.
That's also like business.
That's football and business. And here, you got this guy calling in being like, hey, it's time to rebuild, guys. And it's like, you were a legitimate contender for the Super Bowl last season. And 3 weeks ago, when you beat the Packers, people thought you were a legitimate contender for the Super Bowl this year. You lost to the defending AFC champions by 4 points. 4 points. Without probably your second best defensive player in DeNico Autry, who everybody thinks is probably coming back soon. That is not when you pull the plug on the season. When somebody's on life support, they usually come to you and say, hey, the patient is brain dead. Or, hey, the chance of the patient coming back, it's going to hurt the patient more than it is, and there's not a very good chance the patient's coming back. And that's when somebody has to make the decision. If the doctors think you have a 50-50 chance to live, there is not a discussion on whether or not they're going to pull the plug.
No.
And that's what the Titans did last week, in my opinion, is they pulled the plug. And a lot of you all are like, they should have pulled the plug. And it's like, why?
I don't understand.
What benefit do they get? out of pulling the plug? What benefit did they get out of firing John Robinson on Tuesday? Does anybody have what benefit they got out of it?
No, because I don't know why they did it.
The only thing people will say is that they got rid of him, so now they can go look for the next guy.
Go look for the next GM, and then the next GM can settle in and do that scouting.
Except that GM is currently working for another team. So you can't do that.
Yeah, this isn't like, let's, you know, give a message to the rest of college football that we're open for business and you can go hire another coach. That's not how this works. I don't see any benefit in doing it right now. You're still paying the guy. You're going to be paying him for the next 4 years.
There is no benefit.
So what's the point?
So for the fans that are like, you know, sometimes you just got to rebuild. We know that. We begged the Predators this offseason. Please rebuild. Please sell the old players, bring in new players. We're okay with losing. Get rid of the coach. Get rid of the GM. Start over. We all said it. Do I miss the days of 2017 and 2018 when we could talk regular season hockey in 2018 and watch the ratings skyrocket because the Predators were the hottest thing in town? You bet your ass I do. I miss those days. But I know right now what the team is, and so we beg the Predators, like, please rebuild. So we know when it's time to rebuild, but when you were a Super Bowl contender last year and you have most of the core of the team this year and the one piece that you're missing from last year, the replacement for that is actually starting to come alive, and you think you've got the best coach in the NFL, which I think they have, which means that you have a coaching advantage in any one of these playoff games you play in, and you don't know what the road is going to be, you don't pull the plug on the season. I mean, think about San Francisco, for instance. Brock Purdy was great last week against Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay is probably not very good. They may make the playoffs. They also may fall out of favor to Carolina, who may win that division.
That's when you know it's bad.
But San Francisco, Jimmy Garoppolo broke his foot. They had to play a seventh-round rookie at quarterback. You're the Titans. You get in the playoffs. You believe. You've got Vrabel as your coach. You get healthy. You really feel like, you know, those last couple of games, you feel like, you know what? We've been here, done that. Doesn't matter what happened earlier in the year against Philadelphia. We're not playing Philadelphia this week. You host the Ravens. The Ravens are a very flawed team, too. They lost that same Jacksonville team that you lost to. The Ravens have issues. You beat the Ravens. Now you got to go on the road, and you have to play Cincinnati. Joe Burrow got hurt in the wild card round. So now Brandon Allen's a quarterback.
Absolutely can beat that team.
Now you're in the AFC Championship.
I mean, I think the Titans could even beat the Bengals with Joe Burrow.
They've
played Joe Burrow in the Bengals very closely.
No, I want any part of Joe Burrow in the playoffs again.
No, I'm with you, but it's not like, right. Oh my gosh, no way, no how.
I would pick the 2020 Titans defense was so horrendous, they had no chance to compete in the playoffs either. But nobody was sitting there at the time being like, oh, who cares? Pull the plug. Go on to next year.
And I also understand if you're looking at this Titans team and thinking, wow, I don't think this is the team that can compete for the Super Bowl this year, but they have really good pieces and they've beaten some okay teams. They just haven't gotten up there with the elite teams. That doesn't mean that you start over completely.
What if you make your own A.J. Brown trade?
You sell out every single asset and start over.
What if you make your own A.J. Brown trade this offseason?
Like you make a trade for the missing piece, like an elite player in your offense?
Sure, or
like
defense
that.
Or whatever.
Oh, just an elite player?
Let's say that there's some guy in New Orleans who doesn't want to be there anymore, mm-hmm. or there's some guy in Cleveland who doesn't want to be there anymore, or some guy, you know, that wants a big contract and the Chicago Bears won't give it to him, and so they open it up for business and you offer next year's first and, you know, something else, and you end up making the trade, and so now you've got this dynamic, great player to go along with Treylon Burks and Derrick Henry, and, you know,
who's to say you're not going to be Philadelphia?
The offensive line.
Who's an average team, and then you add that one piece, and all of a sudden you're the best team in the league?
The Titans' offensive line the year before John Robinson showed up was worse than it is now. Like, it was worse. They had Jeremiah Patassi and Byron Bell, and it was awful. And in one offseason, they went out and they drafted Jack Conklin and they signed Ben Jones. And I forget what they did at the guard spot. I think it was Quentin Spain. And they claimed a guy off waivers from the Patriots. And all of a sudden, DeMarco Murray led the AFC in rushing. It's not that difficult if you know what you're doing. This team does not need a full rebuild. It doesn't need that. And so the idea of like, hey, you know, I think these teams out there like the Colts and the Titans need to realize the Colts and the Titans are not in the same spot. The Titans are not in the same spot with all these horrible teams that are at, that really have to look in the mirror. The Titans are not there. The Titans are a 7-win team. They are a 7-win football team. Now, I know they're 7-6, and it was a lot better when it was 7-3. But this just giving up on the season. And when the owner does it, I feel like it makes it okay for everybody else to think that that's acceptable. And that's not how the NFL's run. 615-737-1025. More your phone. 615-737-1025. Plus, the one thing that I cannot get over about yesterday's game, and I know people are going to be mad about it. We'll get to that next as well. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063, the game.
Told the guys they had to make decisions while they were at a crossroads. What did they tell you with their play today?
Well, there's a lot of good things out there today. We moved the football, got some stops early. I thought how we came out and played early was positive. Not good enough with the turnovers, not good enough to start the second half defensively. So we'll have to get a lot of those things corrected.
First time you lost three in a row since you're...
Anybody else here?
How much maybe, Mike, you make it more difficult moving forward by not being able to win this game today?
I just... that drove me nuts yesterday watching that press conference live. So I thought Paul asked a good question, you know, about... You said it was a crossroads last week, got your ass kicked this week. You know, what do you make of that?
Right.
Vrabel answers the question like a total freaking loser. Like, that is so not Mike Vrabel.
Whiny.
We started the game off well. Like, what?
Which is true, but you don't get a trophy for good starts, Mike.
That is what losers say. Though yes. We started the game off well. And then Paul goes to ask a follow-up, and Vrabel's just like, anybody else? And then, of course, you know, Jim Wyatt, who works for the team, asks a question. I mean, that whole exchange bothered me. And then when I saw that, like, you know, Vrabel shouldn't cut Paul off, Paul apparently got all worked up about it.
Yeah, he didn't like that.
That was, I mean.
But they're all fair questions from Paul.
You see the thing that I think that I didn't like was the idea that Vrabel's going to get up there and try to gaslight us that they started the game off well. And then when he hears a question that he knows he's not going to like, he just cuts that guy off and says, I only want friendly questions. And not that Jim Wyatt asks, you know, like, direct softball questions, but, like, he works for the team. You know, Jim Wyatt's not going to be like, Coach, do you think you should be fired next after John Robinson? You know, he's not going to say that.
But, I mean, when Mike Vrabel says things like that, it allows a narrative to just completely excuse from the Titans for what they did in the final three quarters of the game yesterday.
I think it's the other way around.
It distracts from the actual issue at hand.
I don't think it distracts from the issue. It makes Vrabel look like a sore loser. And that's something that if everything is falling apart around you, this is something I've been thinking a lot about. Which is, with the firing of John Robinson, who can the players trust? And this is where Amy cut Vrabel's legs out from under him, is that for half the week, every single person believed that it was a power struggle between Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel's told us 800 times that he was on board with the A.J. Brown trade, and yet everybody believes that Mike Vrabel was not on board with the A.J. Brown trade.
Correct.
Because they saw him stand up and walk backwards after they traded him on the draft cam. Whether or not that means that Vrabel's not telling the truth, I don't know. But it leads us open to believe, can we really trust Mike Vrabel? And if Mike Vrabel was stabbing John Robinson in the back, or there was the allegation that Mike Vrabel was stabbing John Robinson in the back, or that Mike Vrabel's going for the general manager job, or that he's in whatever way putting his own interest ahead of that of the team, then I don't think anybody can trust him, especially the players. Because now it's like, am I a Robinson guy or a Vrabel guy? Well, if I'm a Vrabel guy, I have a chance to be on the team next year. And if I'm a Robinson guy, then I know I'm going to get put on the bench, and I know that they're not going to play me, and I don't want to be here. And that, you know, drives a wedge through the team. And so when Vrabel gets up there and is like, I'm the almighty king, I'm not going to answer your question, that, I think, draws, it really knocks into his credibility. And Amy, by not addressing it from the jump as to what happened and why she did what she did and allowing the speculation to grow and then addressing the, I saw on social media that people said that Mike Vrabel stabbed John Robinson in the back. Well, Mike Vrabel would never do that 3 days after the fact. It really limits his authority and credibility. And so I don't like any of it. I mean, it's fine to be close to the vest, when people trust that you're close to the vest is in the best interest of the team. It's different when people are wondering if you're close to the vest is within your own best interest.
And it does feel like all the things that the Titans have preached for so long haven't been the case necessarily for the past couple of weeks. I mean, who preaches no distractions more than this freaking team? You fire your general manager in the middle of the week, which isn't a Mike Vrabel decision, but still awfully uncharacteristic. No front runners.
Oh, we lost two? Fired!
Yeah, quite the overreaction there.
We're not going to get too high. We're not going to get too low. We lost. Fired. That's not Titan ball. 615-737-1025. What do we have in our text line?
Joel's
not done a very good job of hitting that.
We got a whole lot of them.
Yeah.
We got some angry people. Joel Texan says, unless they bench Tannehill and start playing Malik the rest of the year, we haven't pulled the plug on this season. It's on the team and coaching staff to go out and win the rest of these games, not like actually selling players at the deadline in hockey.
Okay, so the owner doesn't like the team.
She's made that
fairly
clear. Because
she fired the guy who put the team together.
She says she didn't like the direction of the team.
So she doesn't like the players on the team. And the coach is put in a tough spot because he's got players that obviously he probably doesn't like if he's good enough to keep his job, but the GM's not good enough to keep his job. And so we want you to believe that those guys next to you can help pull you through in all these games, and we're putting it on you for you to be able to do that. So, I mean, I have to imagine that I'm not the only person in the world who thinks Dennis Daly's not very good. I'm going to guess there are some dudes that wear the uniform that don't think Dennis Daly's very good. So now you, Texter, are telling me, one of the players on the team, that, you know, we need to band together and we need to believe and that we need to push forward when I don't think we can win with Dennis Daly at left tackle, just like you don't think we can win with Dennis Daly at left tackle, just like the owner doesn't think we can win with Dennis Daly at left tackle.
But Dennis Daly being not a very great player and starting at left tackle isn't something that is new all of the past 3 weeks.
I also don't think it's only Dennis Daly. I think Dennis Daly gets singled out a lot because he plays the most difficult position on the offensive line. But I even thought yesterday the strip sack that he gave up. I mean, Chigakonkwo is supposed to chip. And I didn't see the chip in live time when I tweeted about it because I was like, are they going to put Dennis Daly on an island by himself with the number one pick in the draft? And Chig did chip him, but the problem was Chig chipped him to the outside. And so now Daly has to take an
pretty
extra
much
step or two. Yeah, he's got to be able. I mean, so now you're asking Dennis Daly to be more athletic than if he was just singled up with Trayvon Walker, which he has no chance of winning. Now he has to be even more athletic to be able to keep him away from the quarterback who's dropping back. And so I think too often things like that happen between Daly and Brewer, who are both not very good, and then with Okonkwo trying to chip. That's a big problem for the football team, where you're supposed to chip the guy inside so that then Daly's, you know, chip him up to Daly and not chip him back to where Daly has to go get him.
And it is also well documented that Chig is not the best blocking tight end on this team. That's something that they are working with him a lot on. So to expect him to be an elite blocker against one of the best defensive linemen coming out of college football is...
Well, I think it's easy to ask him just to do what he's supposed to do. Just chip him to the right side instead of chip him to the left side. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
But the bigger issue here is everybody circles that as Dennis Daly. And everybody says Dennis Daly sucks, Dennis Daly this, Dennis Daly that. But Dennis Daly's not getting any help either. And this is where you talk about everybody coming together. This is the football. This is the difference between the football guy talk and the media talk. The media talk is Dennis Daly sucks, fire the general manager. And the football talk is, hey, next time, chip him up, so that it'll be easier for Dennis Daly to be able to corral the guy and communicate that better. And, you know, so that the next time you go out there this week against the Chargers, you're able to do that. That's football guy talk. Nobody listening to this cares about the, you know, where to tell Chigakonkwo to chip the guy to. But that is what matters for football teams. Hey, we need to rely on each other. So let's be better at communicating. Let's be better at making sure that you've got my back and I've got your back. And that is football talk. That is not radio talk. Radio talk is the Cowboys or the Eagles. Who's the contender? Who's the pretender? That's radio talk.
So dramatic.
That's media talk. That's Skip Bayless talk. They're not talking about chipping on Skip and Shannon. And that's the problem, is that by the owner doing what she did, which is like a caller reaction, like, fire the general manager, you now open yourself up to even the players starting to talk and things like that. And that's a really hard hole to dig out of. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. I have a declaration to make about the 2022 Titans. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 through the game.